Welcome back, everybody, to Dropping the Gloves. Our guest has a limited time frame, so we're going to jump right into it. He's the man of the hour, going back to where it all started. Milan Lucic joins the show again. Thank you, Milan, for joining us. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Couldn't be better now I'm talking to you. Before we started recording, I was just making fun of you, saying, how the hell are you signing all these deals? So let's break down how it happened. July 1st, you're a new man. You're a free agent. How many calls? 10, 15 GMs calling you and your agent saying, we want Milan. We need his services. How was that day breaking down for you?
Yeah, you know what? It's funny. There was, I think, that many, like you said.
And no, really?
Yeah. And wow. And honestly, I think now that my cap hit is back down, you know, I think that's why, you know, there was a lot of interest. And, you know, with the salary cap being what it is, you know, and it not going up really at all, you know, there was a lot of interest. And actually, one of the teams I talked to the most was a team that you played for, the Chicago Blackhawks. And yeah, I talked to them a lot. You know, they were one of the first teams, if not the first team, to reach out. And, you know, you've played there, you know, it's a great city, original six team. And that's something that I kind of gravitated me to go into a place like that, was to get a chance to play for an original six team again, and knowing how much that means and what that is. So, you know, that's why I had some lengthy conversations with Kyle and Luke Richardson. And you know what, I got to say this first off, I'm very thankful for Craig Conroy, because, you know, he had my rights, but he gave me the, you know, the opportunity to talk to other teams, you know, before July 1st. And, yeah. And, you know, that's why I was able to just have some conversations before anything, you know, before July 1st happened. But yeah, like you said, there was a lot of interest. So it was nice to go through again, but I think, you know, I went with my heart and where it all started and wanted to go back to being a Boston Bruin again.
Did you expect to have that many teams interested in you? Because you're 35, you've been through the ringer. You've had people telling you that you're done for the last 5 years of your career, but you still keep playing. You still contribute. Was it a nice feeling to be like, man, like I still got it?
Yeah. And I think a lot of it had to do with, you know, my decision of reaching out and going to the World Championships. And I think, you know, a lot of teams that I talked to, you know, they had said that, you know, they could still see the love for the game that I have. And, you know, a lot of that was said by my decision to go play in the World Championships, and a lot of them said they could see it in my face and my eyes, and you know how much fun I was having and smiling and all that type of stuff. So they could still see that there was fire left in me, and that's something, you know, that they saw, that they, you know, that sparked their interest in wanting me to be, you know, on their teams. So honestly, I think you know, my decision of going to the World Championship got me another contract because, you know, I went there, I played well. I had a good tournament. I had a lot of fun, you know, was a part of a great group and a great team and all that type of stuff. And, it was just, you know, something that I really wanted to do and something that I wanted to experience. And it was a lot of fun doing that. And then ultimately I think, you know, it got me another deal, in the NHL.
Well, because the last time we talked, I think it was you were on vacation in Mexico. It was it the All-Star break?
Yes.
And you had finished up the interview. We're like, Calgary's going to take off after this. We're really hitting our groove. It didn't happen. You guys struggled down the stretch. You guys weren't having fun. There was stuff going on in the press. It just wasn't working for whatever reason. Do you want to talk about that at all? Me and Tim bantered about it. Do you just want to blow past it? I'm cool to do that. What happened last year? Why didn't it work?
honestly, it was one of those things where it felt like everything that could go wrong did go wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, we still had more points than the Florida Panthers, you know, yeah, in the standings. And you mean, how do you explain 17 overtime losses and being a part of 51 goal games and hitting 80 posts? No, you know, so like, how do you explain it other than everything that could go wrong did go wrong? And yeah, it was just one of those things. It just felt like, you know, we'd never had a moment where everyone was playing well at the same time. You get what I'm saying? And we never had a moment you know, like someone took the bull by the horns and led the charge and said, okay, we're turning this around and moving it in the right direction. It just, for whatever reason, that just, even just thinking about it and talking about it right now, it's frustrating, because that's literally the best word to describe what was going on all season long, was just a whole ton of frustration. And it wasn't because we weren't getting along. It wasn't because teammates had issues with each other. It wasn't because, you know, there was, you know, whatever, bad chemistry in the room. It wasn't because, you know, of all this stuff that people were trying to say. It was just a ton of frustration, and it just continued to just build and build and build, and we were never really able to get out of it, and we ended up where we ended up, and that was what, 2-3 points out of a playoff spot.
So Daryl didn't choke slam Huberdeau in the locker room? No. Like I read somewhere.
No.
Okay.
No.
And then Cotterie didn't cuss the team out saying, I want to go back to Colorado?
No. Okay. That did not happen.
Okay. Well, I'm just clearing my bases here. I didn't know. You know what else rumor I heard this day? I told one of my friends I was interviewing, you know, he's like, is it true the Bruins circumvented the cap when they won the cup and they were getting Bitcoin under the table? Is that true?
What?
Okay.
Someone
told me, they said the Bruins were getting Bitcoin back in 2010 or something. I'm just saying, okay. No, no truth to that.
News to me.
It's news to Tim too. I didn't really say anything. Sorry, Tim, I'm springing this on you. You guys are Boston guys.
It didn't exist back then, John. You know that.
It did exist. All right, moving on. We're getting through free agency. Tell us why you picked Boston. You had all these suitors. You mentioned the nostalgic, the original six. Were you excited when Sweeney calls you? Who gives you the first call from the Bruins, and did you expect it?
Yeah, the first guy to call me was Sweens. You know, Don called me, and we had a conversation. First, we talked about how both of us were doing. You know, it had been a long time since we talked. And and then first question was, he said, do you even have interest of coming back? And I said, yes, of course. I mean, you know, I've literally been thinking about it for the last 5 years, how great it would be and how cool it would be to go back. And, you know, we had a good, you know, 20-30 minute conversation. And then after that, Jim Montgomery called me and I talked to him 2-3 times. And you know, and then, like I said, I was talking to other teams and all this type of stuff. But at the end of the day, it was just, obviously, they're still a really good team. I don't care what you say. You know, obviously, they blew it in the first round there to Florida. But at the end of the day, I mean, you don't have 65 wins by accident. You know, they still have a foundation there that they're a really good team. So, you know, that was something that I wanted to be a part of, was a good team. And then to be able to go back to the Bruins, you know, I mean, to have that opportunity is like a dream come true. And, you know, it's where I spent my best years. And not only that, it's, you know, one of the things that I said, it's selfishly, like, my kids don't know me as a Boston Bruin. You know, my daughter was 2 years old when I traded, my oldest daughter, who's 10 now. My youngest daughter was born a month before I got traded. And, you know, my son, he's only 5 years old. So he, you know, I don't think he knows much other than me as a Calgary Flame. So, like I said, my kids don't know me as a Boston Bruin. And that's kind of what everyone else knows me as. So, you know, to be able to go back and share this experience with them and my family and all that type of stuff. And, you know, to go back to see where they were born and, you know, kind of live there and grow up there. It's, you know, that all played into it as well. And yeah, it's just something that I, you know, thought about a lot over the last couple of years, you know, how cool it would be to be a Boston Bruin again. And I just, you know, once they called me and said they wanted, you know, me back, I was kind of like, all right, you know, this is an opportunity that I've wanted for a long time. And, you know, it's something that I'm more than honored to be able to do again.
Did you hear
and it's
from
pretty cool. And it's pretty cool. Like, it's my 17th year going back, you know, to Boston for mm-hmm. my 17th year. It's their century season. So to be able to be a part of the Bruins 100th year as a Bruin, it's kind of cool too. So, yeah. So, you know, that's all, you know, plays into it as well.
Did you get Marchi or Pasta calling you up and saying, hey, Luch, let's go. Come on back. Was there any recruitment from those guys?
Not much. They didn't have to recruit me much. But I obviously did talk to them, you know, just asking them. I actually talked to Bergie a bunch too, just asking them, you know, just, you know, how's the coach, you know, how, you know, because things change, you know, things change, you know, it's a new practice rink. The garden looks different. You know, it's a completely different coaching staff, all that type of stuff. So yeah, it's, just kind of just asking them how that all is.
Is he coming back?
I don't know. You'd have to ask him.
Well, you talk to him. I don't have his info, so I figured you could just be the go-between.
So, you know what? Bergie's a legend. Okay. He can do whatever he wants, you know. And, yeah, Bergie's going to make the right decision that he needs to make for himself. And I think, you know, he's earned the right to make that decision himself.
If he doesn't come back, are you requesting the C then?
No.
I have a question for you, Luch. I'm a Boston guy. A lot of nervous Bruins fans. Pretty devastating ending to the season for them, considering what they did during the regular season. Just given your time in the league and you know some of those guys, what's your outsider's perspective? How do they let that series slip through their fingers, and why do they lose in the first round to a team that barely got into the playoffs?
It's hard to say. I mean, think about it. They were seconds away of Marchie's breakaway in game five to move it on. And who knows what happens after that. But again, there's turning points like that all the time. You know, Bob comes in, finds his game again, you know, makes that save. And then all of a sudden, boom, they score in overtime. And then they win that crazy game six, you know, where they were down a bunch of times. And then they were down in game seven too. And, you know, Montour finds a way to score with a minute left. And, you know, and then once you get into overtime, literally anything can happen. But I don't know. It's just, but we've seen it before. And you know, where everything goes right for a team in the season. And it's almost like they don't face any adversity. You know, you saw it with Tampa in 2019. Was it 2019 where they lose to Columbus in the first round? Same thing. Yep. Bob stands on his head. Kind of the same thing. You know, how many great teams have we seen, you know, not really. And again, I was doing my own thing, so I didn't watch everything the Bruins went through last year. But it almost seems like when everything goes right for a team in the season, you know, it's just bound for something to go bad for him, you know, in the playoffs. And I'm not saying that that's just what happened to the Bruins here. I'm saying that I'm just thinking of history, you know, of how many great teams have been so great and then don't get it done in the playoffs. You know, it's happened so often. And I think a lot of teams need to go through some adversity, some hard times throughout the course of a season, you know, because when they come out of that, you know, it brings the group together and it makes the team stronger. Again, I wasn't in that Bruins room. I wasn't in there. You know, I know they have strong leadership. I know they have great coaching. They have great players, you know, all that type of stuff. But I'm just going off of history and what I've seen and what I've learned is, you know, sometimes when things are going too right for you, it's eventually good. You know, eventually something wrong is going to happen. And I think that's kind of what happened there.
Right, Tim?
Yeah. It's been tough. A follow up to that. So like a lot of Bruins fans are nervous just because you lose so many guys in the off season and you got the cap overage and all this stuff. And they think that maybe they're nervous that we peaked last year. And I know you wouldn't go to a team that you didn't think was competitive and had a chance of winning. So what would you say to the Bruins fans who are nervous about last year being as good as we get?
Well, like I said, I think the core is still there and I think the foundation is there. Obviously, you know, we just talked about Berge and, you know, you lose Berge and Krejci. You know, those are two pretty big holes to fill. I don't care who you are. But like I said, the core is still there. The foundation is still there. The work ethic is still there. You know, the coaching staff, you know, is still there. And I mean, all those things are in place, you know, to build around. And when you have that foundation, you know, that team, that core is still set. So like I said, there's still a lot to look forward to. There's still a lot to build around. And it's really funny. Like, you know, I talked about all those Bruins, you know, the Bruins last year and all the great Bruins teams. I would say 2011 probably wasn't even our best. It wasn't even like the best team that I was on when I was there for 8 years. You know, I think of like 2009, how good we were, and we lost to Carolina. In 2014, when we lost to Montreal, that was, you know, I think those two teams were almost better than the 2011 team that we had. But, you know, we had the core, we had the foundation, we had things to build around. And I think that's, you know, something. And we came off a epic collapse in 2010 and then, you know, one in 2011. So, you know, they just had a collapse in 2023. So who's to say, you know, the same script can't be written, you know, moving forward here into 23, 24.
I just had a flashback of Dale Weiss just owning you in those playoffs. No. Did anybody else think that? It's crazy.
Not how I remember it.
After our interview, Dale Weiss reached out to us and was like, hey, can I come on the show? And I was like, we're okay. I'm okay. No, thanks. But okay, I want to go back to your recruitment for free agency, because I'm always fascinated by it. What are these, what's Sweeney saying to you? Are you, you've embraced your fourth line role, it seems like. I just watched a Bob Probert documentary last night. And the whole time I'm watching this, they're talking about how this guy's a unicorn. He scores 20 goals. He gets, you know, 150, 200 penalty minutes. I'm still racking my brain. Who is that player these days? And it's you. You've scored 20 plus goals many, many times. You've been that guy. You're arguably the toughest guy in the league. Can you bring 20 goals again? Can you bring 25 goals again? You know, do you still have that ability? Or are you now just, which is nothing wrong with that, a fourth line guy who goes out there, puts in 5 to 10 goals and plays his role?
You know, I'd love to be that guy. And you know what? That's one of the things that went into my decision when I was talking to teams, was talking to the coaches, is I just wanted an opportunity to play, an opportunity to have a role on the team. And that was one thing also that I had really good conversations with Monty, was, you know, what my role was going to be. And listen, I said, you know, I said to him and I said to the other coaches, I'm not sitting here asking to play 15 plus a night, but if you want to play me 15 plus a night, I'd love to, you know. Mm-hmm. And there are games where I'm going, you know, where, you know, I'm still myself and produce in a big way. Am I going to play all 82 games this year? I don't know. But, you know, I understand what my role is. You know, there's nights where I'm going to play six, seven minutes a night because of power play, because of penalty kill, or because, you know, I'm just not rolling that night. But also, you know, there's nights where I'm going to have the opportunity to move up the lineup because I am playing well. And, you know, that was one of the things that I talked to a lot with the teams and the coaches that, you know, I talked to, and was just having that role. But for the most part, for myself, it's just being an experienced guy, being a leader, you know, bringing the right attitude. You know, I'm a fun guy too. I like to bring the fun on a day-to-day basis. And
what does it mean when you bring the fun, Milan?
just smiling, singing along to the whatever song's going on in the dressing room. You know, just BSing, all that type of stuff, trying to have intelligent conversations, also having dumb conversation, movie quotes, all that type of stuff. I enjoy it all. But yeah, like I said, it's just bringing experience, bringing leadership, all that type of stuff, and just doing that on a day-to-day basis.
Okay. I got a couple more than I know Tim does. Last time we talked, you were talking about blah, blah, blah. You mentioned Vancouver. Did Vancouver reach out to you? I'm sorry if I'm beating a dead horse here with this free agency thing. I want to know if Vancouver reached out. And did you talk to them?
They did, but it wasn't really a serious conversation.
Okay. You just you said you're not a contender. Take care. Comb your hair.
And there wasn't much interest on their part as well.
Okay. All right. Another one. We had Reeves on last week. He's going to Toronto. Zach McEwen signs in Ottawa. Florida's got some meat. Rangers and the Devils, not really. Do you see yourself, you know, being the Milan Lucic of the East? You're the top dog. Because it ebbs and flows, right? You know as well as I do, the toughness goes to conference to conference. It was out West a while. Now all of a sudden, one guy signs out East and it comes East. Are you still confident in your abilities to fight? Do you still got what it takes?
I do.
Okay.
And that's a part of, you know, me being me. So like I talked to you about it last time, I've always enjoyed it. It's, you know, I've always enjoyed that part of the game. And I mean, Boston fans wouldn't like it if I didn't do that. So, yeah. You know, but, you know, like I said, it's just got to bring myself, and that's a part of me being me. And like you said, our division, look at it. It's loaded now, you know.
It's tough.
And then you didn't even bring up the Tkachuk brothers. And I know they're not big fighters, but they do stir it up. And, you know, I know both of them. And they are going to stir it up. And they bring it on a night-to-night basis. And, you know, I think a lot of teams out East have beefed up because, you know, the Tkachuks are out East. So it's... You know, like you said, it's swings and flows. When I first came to the league, I think a lot of it was West, and then it swung East. Then it went back to West here a little bit, and now mm-hmm. it's swung back to East. So it's crazy how it flows, and it's crazy how once, like you said, once one guy goes one way, it seems like everyone seems to find their way in the same conference or same division. So here it's kind of happened again.
Have you changed your tune as to why you and Char wouldn't fight me when I was with Buffalo, or is that still you didn't hear me, or has that changed yet?
No, it hasn't.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure we're still on the same page. Tim, you had one more, didn't you?
Who would really want to fight you? Come on.
Sean Thornton did.
I know. Well, that was Thornton's job.
I love playing the Bruins. There was nothing better than going to the Bruins, because I know you had four guys who could throw. Because McQuaid was in there. He was a gamer. Then you, Zdeno, and I knew I was going to play. So it was fantastic. It was always a good game. One of my most memorable games was after the Boston Marathon bombing. One of my most coolest experiences in hockey. Kind of odd that worked.
Yeah, that was a crazy one. Yeah, with the fans singing the anthem and everything, it was crazy.
I know, and then we won the game too. We should let you guys win.
Yeah. It's okay, though. It's okay.
It's okay. All right, Tim's got one more. Then I got a couple. We'll let you go.
Yeah, besides the garden and the fans and all that stuff, what have you missed most about Boston and the city itself?
The fans in the garden. I mean, you know what? It's funny. I didn't realize kind of how much I became a Bostonian until I was gone. You know, just because, like, I got there as a 19-year-old. You know, like, I was a kid when I got there, and then I was there for 8 years. So I became an adult. You know, I just walking around, learning the city, interacting with people. You know, just even the way, you know, people would speak to each other and jaywalk, you know, all that type of stuff. It was, you know, I think I just became one with the people in Boston. But just to kind of go back there and have that connection again. I think that's what I'm looking forward to. And I think that's what I've missed. And like I said, I don't think I realized how much I missed it and how much I became a Bostonian until I was gone. So I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm really, honestly, another thing too, is I'm really looking forward to taking my kids to Fenway and, you know, raising them as Bostonians. So I'm looking forward to, you know, showing them all the stuff that I got to do when I was a kid, to show them as a kid. So yeah, those are the things I miss, and those are the things that I'm, you know, looking forward to.
Any nerves? Game one at home. I'm not sure who the Bruins play. I'm Chicago. Assuming you'll be in the, what's that?
Chicago.
Chicago at home.
At home.
Original six. You're going to be in the starting lineup, I would assume, if Monty has any class, which he does. How nervous are you going to be? Be honest.
Honestly, I would probably be the most, probably one of the games I'm probably looking forward to the most in my career. You know, and honestly, it might hit me with a wave of emotions where I might even tear up. That's how much I'm looking forward to it. So
no kidding.
Yeah.
Why is it just because of Boston, or what? Why all the emotions, do you think?
Just because it's Boston, because it's the fans, because it's the Garden, because it's the original six, because I get to wear the jersey again, because I get to, you know, represent the Bruins again. It was just something that was such a big part of me and something that I missed so much that I think it'll really hit me with a big wave of emotion. And yeah, that's why I think I'm really, you know what, I'm kind of looking forward to just getting the first shift over, first period over, so I can just be like, okay, that's over with. Now I can just breathe and go out there and play again.
Hypothetical. It's first period, Connor Bedard's got the puck, and you have him just in the trolley tracks.
Well, you got to run him over.
Do you bury him? Okay. Just a hypothetical. I just wanted to see. Another thing. What if Arizona, July 1st, said, Luch, we want you $3.5 million for 3 years. Are you playing in Scottsdale right now? Or wherever the college rink is? Tempe?
It would be hard to say no, but it would be tough, you know? Like I said, I wanted to go... That was a big, I wanted to go somewhere where like it meant something, not only like, not that it doesn't mean anything. And I don't want to like throw shade at Arizona. Or
oh, they're a
like
garbage
that.
Franchise. I'll do it. I think they're an absolute joke.
But for me, I just, like I said, that's why I talked to Chicago too, even though, I mean, I'm not going to say they're not going to be a good team next year because they do have some, you know, not bad players coming in, but you know, but it's meaningful. Like you've played there. It's meaningful playing for the Chicago Blackhawks. And, you know, that's one thing that I wanted to kind of experience again, was going back to an original six team or a team out east or a team, you know, that's winning on a night to night basis, you know, and all that type of stuff. So I kind of, that played into my decision. So like I said, if Arizona comes to me with 3 years, like you said, 3.5, it would be really hard to say no to.
But you would.
You know, because, you know, but I probably would say no to it.
Yeah. Well, and then to go back to like actually having some history, when I used to play, when we used to go to like old fashioned arenas, we played at the old Joe Louis, I would go to the ice and I would look up and you see the banners, you see the retired numbers, you feel the history when you go to MSG. When you go to the Garden, you feel that history. It's not like that when you go to even Dallas. It's like, oh, okay, this is Dallas. It's great. Or you go to Arizona, these teams, it doesn't have that feeling, you know? So I get it. And Boston was a team I wanted to play for Boston, but they didn't want to have the toughest guy in the league on their team for some reason.
Well, I think that's where we're similar, is where I think we're both like historians of the game. We enjoy the history of the game. And it's funny you brought that, what you just said up, because I kind of do the same thing. And when I would go back, obviously, I would go walk out to the bench before warmups and just take it all in. Mm-hmm. And same thing with MSG. I would walk out there and just take it all in and look at the numbers and even look at the Knicks stuff. And mm-hmm. same thing with Chicago. I go out there and just look around, and it's like you said, it's meaningful, it's cool, it's something that you want to, you know, embrace, I think. And like I said, that played into my decision again, was to, you know, just to, you know, go somewhere where it's a cool place to be, in a cool place to live, and a cool place to put on their jersey. And like I said, being an original six team, it's truly something that's really awesome. And like I said, I'm so grateful and so thankful that I get this opportunity again. And one thing I wanted to, you know, make clear too, this isn't a farewell tour
for me. I was just going to ask you that. It seems like you're just
back.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying all this stuff because
I'm going to be crying.
Like I said, I'm a historian of the game, and I enjoy the little things in the history of the game. But by no means am I going here just to have a farewell tour to say that I was a Bruin, you know, my last year and got to do all that type of stuff. That's not why I'm doing this at all. I'm going back for the right reasons. I'm going back to help a team win. I'm going back to help a team try and, you know, achieve the ultimate goal, because that's my goal, is to win a Stanley Cup. And yeah, that's why I'm continuing to play.
Finally out of Alberta, right?
You know what? I was an Albertan for 7 years.
You were.
You know what? I took it in and I enjoyed it. You know, for anyone that follows me on social media, they see I've done it all. I've been to Banff and Lake Louise and, you know, driven through Jasper and, you know, rafted the Bow River and all that type of stuff. I soaked it all in. So I did my time as an Albertan. So I enjoyed that as well.
How loud is the ovation going to be first game? It's going to be nuts for you.
Well, I think we'll hear some Lou chants.
What if you're a healthy scratch and you just have a bad camp? I hope that happens.
Then that's on me. That's my fault if that happens.
Oh, you know what I wanted to ask? Are you excited to work with Trent Frederick? Tough kid, a lot of spunk and energy. Are you going to take him under your wing a little bit and show him the ropes? Because he could use some seasoning, you know?
Yeah, and you know, that was one of the guys that, like, me and Sweens talked about, was, you know, me coming in and you know, helping young guys like him. I haven't talked to him personally yet, but, you know, you always look forward to being teammates with guys. And, you know, I have watched the Bruins a bunch, and I've watched his game a lot. And, you know, one of the games that sticks out for me this last year was his game in LA. He got in a fight with Lemieux.
Mm-hmm.
And then boom, he ended up scoring two goals after that, and the game winner, and ends up being a big part of why they beat the Kings that night. And you know, that's when I'm excited to, you know, be a teammate with a guy like that. Like you said, he's got spunk to his game. He's got energy to his game. I think he's a fun kid to watch. And I think for him is just, you know, learning how to do it on a night to night basis. And yeah, if there's any way I could help him or teach him or bring it out of him, that's something that I'm, you know, looking forward to do.
Another positive, Milan, is you'll never lose a fight again with Jack Edwards calling your fights. I anticipate you going under and over a million times. So I'm excited to hear those terrible calls.
Oh, man.
Do you ever talk to him and just go pump the brakes, Jack? Like, it's a little much?
No, I haven't talked to him about that, no.
Have you ever talked to him ever? Or is every conversation like, Milan, you're so great, I love you, you're the best player ever?
You know what? Every time I play the Bruins, he always comes down to say hi to me, and we just have a conversation, and he's always smiling, and I'm smiling, and celebration every time, and just see how each other's doing, and you know, we keep it to that.
No, he's a gem. He's a Boston legend, right, Tim?
Sure is.
She's perfect for Boston. All right, Milan. Well, you're heading to Boston tomorrow. I wish you all the luck, my man. I hope you have a fantastic season. We'll be watching and we'll be in touch. Thanks for joining the show. We appreciate it.
Hey, you know what? I'm a fan of you guys. I'm a fan of you. So thanks for having me again.
All right, Luch. Good luck this year, man. I'm sure
you'll have me back on again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I hope you guys win the cup. I don't think we've had a guy in the show who's won the cup yet. Have we, Tim?
Not that year. No.
Not that year. This is the year. All right. Luch. Get out of here, my man. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care, guys.
See you guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.